The world that we live in today, and no surprise to anyone, is a mess. And it's not surprising if I were to say that to anyone that we meet. You know, it is a mess. Everywhere we turn, it's a mess. From the violence, uncontrolled violence, to the hatred, the anger, to find extreme poverty. To look far and see it in our own neighborhoods, the murders, the greed, the selfishness, and the list could go on and on and on. There are billions, I'm going to say, in our world out there that are in despair. You and I, on the other hand, have been given this incredible gift that we'll hear a lot about as we approach the holy days, you know, that are coming up here in just a couple months. But the gift that we've been given, this incredible gift we've been given, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with this incredible gift, we're able to then put the world events into perspective, to understand that these bad things have to happen. And it should give us, because we have God's Spirit, because we know our future, really a great sense of comfort. Yet while we have so much going on for us and such an incredible future, it's truly very hard to avoid falling into some of the traps that Satan has set for us. There's one trap I want to talk about today, and I feel it's safe to say that we've all fallen into at one time or other. And I'm going to call it the if-only trap. The if-only trap. And this specific dilemma that I'm talking about is one that's easy to let ourselves slip into, and it can be hard to shake. And the fact that we are supposed to have humility, I think sometimes can make us extra easy pickings for this trap if we're not careful. The if-only trap, let me describe that. It has two common areas where we can get caught in. The first, and I think probably the most common that we can find ourselves, is if only I had not made this bad decision, right? If I had not committed this sin, if only I had not made this bad decision, then I'd be closer to God. You know what I'm talking about, right? The problem that we can have, though, is dwelling, as I've mentioned in the past, on our past mistakes and letting those things haunt us. Letting those things hold us back and get in the way of our ability to grow and move ahead as God expects every single one of us to. The second if-only trap that I'm going to mention today looks something like this. If only I would have bought Amazon stock years ago, right? If only I would have invested better. If only I would have saved more money. If only I had went to acting school. If only I'd been born at a different time. If only I would have had more opportunities as a child. Right? We can go on and on and on. If only I could be richer. If only I could be more famous. If only I could be skinnier. If only I could be more converted. If only I would have used that guard on the slicer, I would have a longer finger. Right? You know what? Spending our time on what could have been, if we could have changed some little thing, right? Some this past decision in our lives is truly counterproductive. And it really can cause us to be very unhappy. We know that we can't completely forget about the past. We have to learn from it instead. But every single one of us, brethren, every single one of us has sinned against our Heavenly Father. And as difficult as it is to accept, we will again. But we need to understand that beating ourselves up for all the, I'm just going to say stupid in my case, it's a pretty strong word, but beating ourselves up for all the stupid things that we've done in the past doesn't change a thing. It doesn't make it not happen. what's done is done. But you see, our adversary, Satan, he wants us to dwell on those things. He wants us to remember all of the sins, and he wants to hopefully make us miserable when we sin again, knowing that you blew it again. And there's no way that God's going to keep someone like me around if I keep doing the same thing. Satan wants us to feel that way, but God does not. Now, sir, when we sin, we should feel terrible for doing those things, sinning against God and His law. We have to feel bad enough, though, that we won't do those things again. And then you know what we're supposed to do. It's at that point, then, again, we go before our God, humiliated and embarrassed and truthfully sorry for the things we've done, and once and for all repent of that sin. You can turn there, we're familiar with it, but Acts 2:38, very specific scripture on this, Acts 2 verse 38. And then Peter said to them, we remember this, right? Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know, brethren, right? We understand that we have to regularly and with our whole heart, sincerely repent of those things that we do and they're not godly. And then know that when we do that, God has forgiven us and move on. Again, it doesn't do any good to dwell on our past mistakes and to beat ourselves up. If we have truly repented, then we need to turn our sights on what's ahead and we need to move on and stop looking back. In my life anyway, and probably yours, some of life's greatest roadblocks are not the ones that we see through the windshield. Instead, they're the ones that seem to fill the rearview mirror. Face it, we are not perfect. We are imperfect human beings who lack perfect control over the way we think. Right? We lack control, full control over our thoughts, and we can get stuck in the past even though we know better. Turn back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, let's read verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Brethren, we should think about how we will improve for the future. How we will improve for the future, but we don't need to waste our time thinking about things that we couldn't change. Things that we can't change that have happened. Again, I know it's hard to do, but we just can't dwell in the past. We can get to feeling when we do that. We can get to feeling that we're a failure, that I'm not going to make it. I'm a terrible person. I'm not going to make it. That we're not going to be in God's kingdom. And we might even start to feel sorry for ourselves. And Satan really likes that. He likes us to feel sorry for ourselves and get down. But we must know. We have to know that God will not forsake us if we remain close to Him and do everything in our power to obey Him. If we take action. It tells us He will strengthen us. Along the way, too, we also need to develop self-reinforcement. We need to develop self-reinforcement. That's a belief that with God's Spirit supporting us, that we will be successful, that we will overcome whatever sin we're struggling with. And we need to, brethren, have this belief that is always strong, that is always unwavering. And when we get thrown from the horse, or when we fall down, when we falter, we must be prepared to jump back up. Right? To spring back to our feet and keep moving forward. The if only trap number two that I mentioned earlier, if only I whatever had more money or was famous, whatever, etc., can be likened a lot to, I don't know, to daydreaming, you know, or fantasizing. It's more of an activity, you know. It's something that we can't change. It's fruitless. And again, it's likely that the things we are daydreaming about are not realistic and they're not going to happen. Again, we have to understand that it's a waste of our valuable time. It's a waste of that time when we could be focusing on God's kingdom and what we can do to make sure that we are ready for that. But alas, we are all human. And it is far too easy to let ourselves get sucked into that way that the world thinks. And we can, you know, have our thinking clouded by what we read, what we see on TV, what we see going on around us. And one might feel that we are immune to getting sucked into the media's portrayal of life, but it can affect us more than we know. You know, it's easy to see some movie star or some famous person living the life that their dream, right? They're living their dream and think, well, what if I'd done that? What if I had pursued this? That could be me. Well, it's not. It's not you. It's not me. Or we see the terrible things being portrayed out there and think, what if those things occurred here and started happening and things are getting worse and get paralyzed by fear? Again, we need to not dwell on the what ifs and instead, to use a quote, I say, quote, keep it real at all times. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. He's talking about taking action, not being passive and just letting whatever happen. Taking action and being proactive. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, we understand this, don't we? That Christ lived as a human being and he understands with the struggles that we have. But he does, though, expect us to do the right thing at all times. Brethren, ultimately, you and I need to remember that we have a choice in what we think about, and what we read, and what we watch, and how then we process those things, and how we think about things. And we can choose to do whatever we think is important enough to warrant our efforts. Right? It's about setting our priorities. You and I, brethren, understand we need to make a conscious choice not to dwell in the if only, and instead dwell on those things that we can change. Dwell on those things that we can change and how those choices are going to ultimately bring us closer to God and then ultimately into his kingdom. But remember, true repentance is the key. The Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary had some commentary I thought worth sharing, and this is what it says about repentance, and I'll read it to you. It says, repentance is a change of mind. It also refers to sincere remorse accompanying a realization that a wrong has been done, which results then in a reversal of thought. He goes on to say, in its biblical sense, repentance refers to a deeply seated and thorough turning from self to God. It occurs when a radical turning to God takes place, an experience in which God is recognized as the most important fact of one's existence. Let me read that line again. True repentance occurs when a radical turning to God takes place. I mean, a complete change of thoughts and actions. Radical. An experience, it says, in which God is recognized as the most important fact of one's existence. It finishes up by saying a truly repentant person looks to this incredible future with God. Well, in conclusion, God has certain specific expectations of those that he's called, all of us in this room. And we know, right? We know that we need to be striving to move closer to God and his ways. And we understand that to do this, that we have to put off the old man. We have to change our lives. And we also know and understand that to do this, we must be able to honestly and truthfully and sincerely repent of our sins, and then know for a fact, have no doubt in our minds that once we've done that, that God has forgiven us, right? We've talked about it in the past. He's wiped the slate clean. And we know that that penalty for that sin has been paid by Jesus Christ. But knowing all that, brethren, we need to always be looking forward, looking for that next opportunity to grow, to move closer to God. And we need to understand once and for all that only the if only way of thinking is harmful. Right? It's counterproductive and potentially very harmful for us. And we have to face the facts about where we are. We need to be realistic. And we need to know what is really, really attainable for us and not dwell on time-wasting, unproductive thoughts. And finally, if you truly believe, with your whole heart, if you truly believe that when you honestly and thoroughly repent, that God completely forgives you, and as it talks about, he actually forgets your sins, then we need to act like we believe him. Right? We need to learn from our mistakes, and then after we've repented, we need to move on. We need to put that behind us and get on with our lives. Satan doesn't want that. He would want us to wallow in self-pity and beat ourselves up for what we've done because he knows that those emotions are destructive. So ask yourself, brethren, do I trust God? If you say yes, then you must believe everything he tells you. He's told us, and he's told you and I, that he forgives our sins completely when we repent. So starting today, brethren, let's live all our lives for the future and not let the if only way of thinking be a part of how we think.